There are so many different levels in the events that the Gospels tell us about today, all the readings actually. But I thought we would concentrate on one in which all the others can be summed up. And that is on the notion of remembrance. Twice Paul tells us, as he recounts the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. And again, as often as you drink it in memory of remembrance of me. Now you may have noticed that we find the same notion, this shall be, this is from the book of Exodus, this shall be a memorial feast for you. Now the word there in Hebrew is zakar, which means to remember. It also means a monument. That's translated further in Greek, it has the same notion of a memory. Now, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us because I would like to try to open up for all of us a bit the profundity of what's being said here. No one ever will understand or plumb the depths of what Jesus suffered for us. We can see the exterior suffering, the mockery, the attacks by Satan, the physical torment on the cross. But remember, Paul tells us that he who knew no sin, God made sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Now, only the mystics understand the real reality of sin, the affront to God. And therefore, you see, the inability of that reality to come anywhere near God. We speak of it as the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the infinite power of his love and the utter incompatibility. When people experience it, you see, they're experiencing the incompatibility, the depth of this sin. Jesus was made sin, and he did this of his own free will. He became that which has destroyed the history of the world. And in so doing, brought it back to God the Father. And he did it by an act in his own human person, his own human body, soul, feelings, memory, spirit. And so it was brought back to the Father. And we remember that when we let it penetrate our being and change us. And that's the meaning of the Eucharist. Now it's called Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, because at that Last Supper, which was a Seder supper, there was also the overtone of remembrance in the sense of thanksgiving, a toda. It's hard for us to grasp this, you see, and harder still to realize that it's that Jesus in that act of love who is here among us now, and in a special way in the bread and wine, which become his bread, his body and blood. It isn't so much that Christ comes down, it's that we are brought up into this mystery. In heaven, all the saints and angels are in awe, prostrate in awe at what Christ has done and who he is. And that awe brings about such a thanksgiving. Even the angels thank God for what he did for us. And all of this is here every day for us. It's this Eucharist, this thanksgiving. You see, there's only one act of love. That act in which Jesus died and in which he is fixed for all eternity, and which was received by the Father even as it was given. And that is what transpires once and for all and is made present for us to enter into every time we celebrate the Eucharist. Now you may wonder then, why does the Church take this text from John chapter 13? We have in the first reading the beginning of the memorial. You see, when we remember, we touch the glory, the kavod of God. It's revealed to us. It was the kavod that was which frightened the Egyptians at the Red Sea. It was the kavod that made such an impression on the Israelites that they didn't want to get any closer to the mountain. They said to Moses, you go talk to him. And God did that on purpose so that they would never forget who he is. For their sake, not his. He knows who he is. And yet, we need such an anointing in order to understand that. Not to frighten us, but to fill us with awe. If we listen to the mystics, who in some small way have touched this, you see, this kavod, this glory, this manifestation of a saving presence in a suffering human being. The depth of that darkness, the enduring of that rejection, the power of this, all present to us. God comes in this bread and wine so that we can commemorate. This bread and wine are the body and blood of Christ. Not in some abstract sense, but really, really the body and blood of Christ set forth here. As he is fixed in that act of love in which he is surrounded by the saints and angels. But it's the whole reality that's present. Huh? That means the abandonment, the suffering, the incredible confrontation with evil that only the Word of God made flesh could ever endure. It's all present here for us. So when he says to us, do this in memory of me, he means, let my Holy Spirit open up for you what is here among you. Let it be powerful. You see, it isn't that it frightens us. It's that once realizing what he's done and what sin really is, we're filled with joy. Because this is mercy. This is mercy. We're also filled by the grace of the Holy Spirit with repentance. Not a repentance that's just embarrassment because we've done evil, but one that's filled with love, a real return to God. And this is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And that's why before we come to the supper, we have reading and song and someone to break open the bread of the word so that we become one with Christ, one with the whole church. Now, the church takes this reading, after having shown us the first realization of the Kavod, the Passover, the giving of the law. See, that's the beginning. And then that is raised infinitely on the cross. And then is made present to us forever. And so we have Paul's words, you see, that I received from the Lord what I handed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, it's just difficult not to have some word that evokes the whole process without overwhelming us. And the church took this word, handover, which is to be, traitor comes from this word as well, you see, handed over. He was handed over, Paul tells us, for our transgressions and raised for our justification. Without the resurrection, all of this would never have touched us. That act of love in which he died and in which he lives is what comes to us. Now, the gospel is meant to show us another way that we remember, we make present this act of love in which he died. I imagine the angels must have gasped to see him get up from the table, take off his outer garment, wrap himself in a towel, and wash their feet. This is the one who not many months before had told the Jews, the Father works until now, and I work until now. The Father has handed all judgment over to the Son. They've seen him do miracle after miracle. They've seen him say, the Father and I are one. And now he's kneeling at their feet. It was for them, if you will, an audio-visual aid of what he was soon to do in a much deeper way. But he left that, too, as a memorial for us. It's one of the reasons we're not doing it this year, but we will. There's a real foot washing, so we could see with our own eyes what he did. Slave work. God. That's God washing their feet. It's to bring about this sense of how awesome all of this is. And he goes on to say, you call, do you realize, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and master and Lord. So I am. If therefore, the master and teacher, I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. This is another way you do this. In memory of me. Otherwise, it's just a liturgy. Nice. The Lord Christ is there. There is no doubt about that. But there's nobody else here because we don't love each other. And so he's telling us, you see, wash one another's feet. Kneel down and wash one another's feet. Physically, if you want. In the monastery, we do this every Saturday night. In my monastery, we were 160 people. So if you were one of the foot washers, you had a job. And it helped you remember what Jesus did. A tiny glimpse of the depth of what he did for us. He became sin for us. Now this is meant to fill us with such zeal. If he can do that for us, I have been freed from eternal death by the act of dying of God himself. That's how I got free. And now he says, now do this to one another. Lay down your life. The gift of this liturgy, the grace, every mystery of Christ, every feast of Christ, has a particular grace, a particular power, particular blessing. The blessing of this day is love for each other. So as we receive this Eucharist, St. Augustine used to tell his people, I'm going to hold up this host in front of you and say, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. Now before you say amen, look around. You are receiving this body of Christ. You can't say, I'll take Jesus, but I'll skip the rest. You can't do it. And that's why, you see, the second the Church in her wisdom gives us this gospel today, where our Lord, after having given a symbolic portrayal of what he's just about to do, says, continue to show people the meaning of my act of love by laying down your life for one another.